a real good audience tonight, good attendance, and we are grateful for your presence, and we do have visitors in the audience, and we're glad to have you and invite you to come back and be with us throughout this series of studies, if you possibly can. We are studying the subject of faith, and I can't think of a subject that's more important than this subject. Because we are a people of faith. You remember the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And as he would write to the Romans in the first chapter of the book of Romans when he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And we are the just. We have been justified by obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we live by faith. And as we look at the people of God in every dispensation of time, they have been a people of faith, and they have had to walk by faith. We've been studying the book of Isaiah, and everybody here tonight, just about it, but the younger people have been in these classes, and there's one thing that Isaiah points out and emphasizes to Judah in the long ago, that they must walk by faith. And one of the great failures of Israel and one of the great failures of the southern kingdom was their failure to walk by faith. And when we become a faithless people, then we are not pleasing in the sight of our God. The Apostle Paul, as or whoever wrote the Hebrew letter, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and in verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so without faith it is impossible to please our God. We walk by faith, and we live every day of our lives by faith. We are justified by faith, as the apostle would write to the Romans in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, and in verse 1 he says, therefore being justified by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are two sides to justification. There is the divine side, and there is the human side. As you would look at the divine side, we see that the Bible points out that that God justifies us in Romans, the 8th chapter, down to about verse 33. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Showing then, that's the divine side. Jesus Christ, he justifies us. As we would go to the Galatian letter, in the second chapter of the Galatian letter, and down about verse 17, the record says, and this I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. And I think I've failed to put the right verse here on that.
You're in
all right, I'm in chapter 3 and I need to be in chapter 2, okay? So I guess I have got the right verse then. In 2 and 17, the record says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. But we see that here in Galatians 2:17 that Christ justifies, and Paul would tell us in 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter and verse 11 that we are justified by the name of Christ. He says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Also, he points out that we're justified by the blood of Christ. In Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 9, and then as we look at the human side, and this is what Paul is emphasizing, as I've already read in Romans 5 and verse 1, when he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are justified by faith. We're justified by a working faith. As we would go to the book of James, in the 2nd chapter of the book of James, and look down, if you would, to about verses 22 and 23, he would say, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Then in verse 24, he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. And so when the apostle tells us in Romans 5 and verse 1 that we are justified by faith, he of course uses the term faith in the generic sense, and of course it includes all of obedience, and we'll talk about that more as we go into these lessons, the specific and generic use of faith. But we might point out to you, whenever salvation is predicated upon faith and there is no other act of obedience included in a verse, then you know that the term faith is used in the comprehensive sense or in the generic sense, and it includes the whole of obedience. And so we see then that we are justified by faith. And the first responsibility that rests upon all mankind is to hear the gospel and believe it. As we go back to the Great Commission in Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So every creature is to have an opportunity to hear the gospel, and whenever men have heard the gospel, they have a responsibility to believe it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then he points out the condition of those that hear and do not believe. He says, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so the first responsibility that rests upon all men when they hear the gospel is to believe the gospel. They are to believe it. We are to believe it with all of our hearts. You remember in the sermon that Peter preached in Acts 2 and verse 36, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. So he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly. The idea is they are to believe with all of their hearts that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's like the expression in Acts 8 and verse 36, as the eunuch was being taught by Philip, and the record says, and they went on their way, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, my point of emphasis is, God expects the whole of the human family to believe when they hear the gospel. That is the first responsibility that rests upon men. Now, in these lessons that we're going to present, we want to talk about what faith is, and then we are going to deal with how the word faith is used. Now, first let me point out faith and man's will. There are those that teach, and the Calvinist and most folks that we are associated with in the denominational world, they are Calvinist. They deny that man can exercise his will to believe without the direct operation of the Spirit. In other words, they say that it's just impossible for a man to believe until there is a direct operation of the Spirit. And if the Spirit does not come and work upon your heart and give you enabling grace, then it's impossible to believe. But I think you can see from the verse that we have already read here in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when Peter had preached the gospel to them, and he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Shows that every man can believe that the evidence that is presented is evidence that can be believed, that men can weigh that evidence and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Belief of the fact that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ is in the power, you can see, of every individual. And this is, of course, what Peter pointed out, that let all the house of Israel know assuredly, showing then that all the house of Israel, every man, could believe that Jesus, of course, had been crucified and that he was both Lord and Christ. And so we see then that belief or faith that Jesus is Lord and Christ is in the power of every responsible being. That's the reason we can see that from the Great Commission as we've quoted it, or read it, when he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned," showing that every responsible creature can believe the gospel when he hears the gospel, and he can do that without the direct operation of the Spirit. Man has the will, man's will can believe. Man can will to do God's will, and he can believe the gospel when he hears it. And so we can see then that we can exercise our minds and we can come to the conviction that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, without some kind of outside power. The Bible does not teach that. And as I've already called your attention to the 8th chapter of Acts, we can see all that occurred here was that Philip the preacher took the scriptures, went back to Isaiah 53, and preached Christ unto him. And whenever he had finished preaching and they came to the certain water, he said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He told him he could if he believed with all of his heart. And then he confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so I think you can see then that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come through the direct operation of the Spirit. Faith does not come through prayer, but faith comes by hearing the word. Now, what is faith? Men have sought to define faith down through the ages, but the best definition, of course, of faith is the definition that the God of heaven gives of faith. And the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11 and verse 1, He defines faith. I'm now reading from the King James Version, Hebrews 11 and 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, he says, faith is the substance. In other words, faith is that which stands under our hope. Now, of course, faith, as I'm going to point out and show you, faith comes as a result of testimony, as a result of evidence. But he is showing what faith does for us. When faith is produced in our hearts, it is that which stands under our hope, you see. It is evidence of things not seen. There are many things. Faith, of course, reaches in the realm of the unseen, that which we cannot learn by our five senses. But we know these things by faith. Faith is to the human spirit what food is to the human body. Now, we all understand the importance of food and what food does for our physical body. Faith does for our soul or for our spirit what food does for our body. The American Standard Version translates the word faith, translates this verse defining faith this way, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is assurance. Where the King James uses the word substance, the American Standard Version uses the term assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Faith, then, is the assurance and conviction of these things that we cannot see, and things that we cannot know by sight, things we cannot know through the five senses. A translator by the name of Anderson translated the verse this way, faith is sure confidence with respect to things hoped for, a firm persuasion with respect to things not seen. I'll read that again. Anderson is the translator. He's an old translator. I took this quotation out of some old writing. Faith is a sure confidence with respect to things hoped for, and the next phrase, a firm persuasion with respect to things not seen. And so, when we have faith, we have confidence. When we have faith, we, of course, are firmly persuaded of these things. So faith is that which gives reality to things which we expect in the future, but which we have not yet seen. Now, I believe in God. I haven't seen God. I know there is a God. How do I know that? By faith. I know there is a heaven. How do I know that? With my five senses? Absolutely not. I know it by faith. I have evidence. I have testimony. And that testimony has produced faith. I believe that God is as real as you are. I believe that heaven is as real as this building, you see. So faith gives full assurance and conviction relative to the unseen. Now, this assurance and conviction that we have, this faith depends on evidence. And our evidence, of course, is the testimony of the inspired Word of God. Let's just look at some passages, one that I've already read in your hearing, that shows without this evidence there can be no faith, in Romans 10 and in verse 17. He says, so then faith
cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, how does faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God. Without hearing or reading the word of God, there can be no faith. And so without testimony, you see, there can be no faith. And the testimony that produces this faith in our heart is the word of God. But let's look at another passage. Go back with me to John, the 7th, go with me to John, the 17th chapter, and look now, if you will, to verse 20. Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Now, how was faith to be produced? How were men to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Through their word, you see. Without testimony, there could be no faith. In Acts, the 17th chapter, and if you will, look to verse, in Acts, not 17, I'm sorry, Acts, the 15th chapter, and look, if you will, to verse 7. This is verse 7 of Acts, the 15th chapter. He says, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." So the Gentiles could not believe until they had heard the word of the gospel. Again, Jesus in the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, verses 11 through 12 of the 8th chapter, shows that faith is produced by the word of God. The record says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved." Now the devil knows what produces faith. He knows that the word of God will produce faith. And if the word is mixed with faith, then of course men will be obedient to God, and the devil knows that. You remember the Hebrew writer uses this expression as we read from the King James Version in Hebrews 4 and verse 2. He says, "Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." And so this is what Jesus is talking about in the parable of the sower. Many people hear the word, but the word is not mixed with faith, you see. A lot of times we become disturbed because of our friends and neighbors. We invite them to come and they will hear a good gospel sermon, and maybe they'll even come several times with us and hear the gospel preached, and they do not seem to understand. They never do anything about it. And the whole problem is they hear, but they don't believe. The devil removes the word out of their heart, and therefore, before they can believe. Go back again to verse 12 of the 8th chapter of Luke, when he says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." Now that's what the devil is trying to do to every one of us. Whenever we hear the word, he'd like to remove it. He does not want the word mixed with faith. And that's the trouble even in the church today. There's a lot of people who know what the word teaches. They can pick up the Bible, turn you to the different passages if you get on some subject, and they can read it, point it out to you as well as you can to them. But they don't practice it. Why? Because it is not mixed with faith. They do not believe what the Lord said. And that's what all of us need to be concerned about in our own lives. It's easy to become an unbeliever. And there are many unbelievers who travel with us. We have many unbelievers in congregations. And we all need to look at our own hearts and ask ourselves, are we really true believers? The Hebrew writer warns in Hebrews 3 and verse verse 12 of Hebrews 3, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Whenever unbelief sets in, what's going to happen? We're going to depart from the living God. And we see many of our own brethren departing, and it bothers us, and we get disturbed, and we say, we know they ought to know better, they have known better. Yes, they do know better from the intellectual standpoint. They know what the Word teaches. But the problem is they have lost their faith in it. And that's what we need to be concerned with. Do we really believe what God says? Faith then gives full assurance and conviction relative to the unseen. And as we have already pointed out, and the means of bringing this faith about it is dependent, as I have shown you, from the evidence and the testimony of the inspired word. Now, we could look at many, many other passages, but I've given you enough to establish that point. So man's faith, then, is dependent upon the word of God. If you have no word of God, you have no faith. And where there is no word of God, there can be no faith. Faith is the belief of credible testimony. Faith is a firm, unshaken confidence or belief in the truth of a proposition based upon testimony concerning whatever that proposition is. Faith then is firm belief of testimony. And so we have pointed out that the testimony that we firmly believe is the inspired scriptures. First, there is testimony and then faith. There can be no faith without testimony. And the testimony we're talking about is the inspired word of God. And this, of course, is that which our faith is based upon. Now, by faith, you and I enjoy many wonderful things. If we were without faith, the only thing that we would enjoy would be the temporal. We would only enjoy what we could handle and see and taste and hear, you see. What we could perceive of with our five senses. But we who walk by faith, you think about how wonderful it is. It is through faith that you and I know there is a God. I know there is a God as well as I know Jim Bandy. Now, I know Jim Bandy through sight, through feeling, you see. But I have never felt God. I've never smelt God. And I've never heard God orally speak. I've heard him through his word, through his testimony, and that is the evidence that I have. It is through this evidence that he has given me that I believe there is a God. I believe that the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, is credible evidence. And this is not an evidence class, but there are many ways to show the credibility of this evidence that has been given. One of the ways, of course, is by the prophecies. And if you've studied the prophecies, and all of you have, you can see their fulfillment and their minuteness. What does that prove? This proves the credibility of this testimony. And this testimony affirms to you and me that God is. And you know, the Bible doesn't go around arguing the fact to prove God. It just simply states the fact that He is. When you begin to read the Bible in Genesis 1 and verse 1, the record says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." So I believe there is a God. And you believe there is a God. How do we know there is a God? By our senses? No. We know that by faith. We think about Him. We know what He's all about. And all of this comes to us through faith. It is through faith that you and I know there are three persons in the Godhead. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, and verse 19, the record says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Here we have credible testimony. We could turn to many other passages that show us that the Godhead is composed of three beings: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I believe in these three beings. I believe they are. I believe they exist. I believe they are real. We have relationship with all three of them, every one of us. How do we do that? It is by faith, you see. Without faith, we would know nothing about Jesus Christ. Without faith, we'd know nothing about the Holy Spirit. It is through faith that these three persons become real to us. By faith, we draw nigh to our God. You remember that James would tell us in the fourth chapter of the book of James, and in verse 8, he says, "Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Now, God is as real to us as though He were here upon the earth. Jesus is as real to us as if He were here tonight. And He is here, you see. The Bible teaches we're two or three are gathered together. But He's not here where we can perceive Him with our five senses. But we perceive Him through faith. We know He is here. We know He is concerned with us. We walk with our God. We have a relationship with Him. We talk with Him daily. Daily. Day in and day out. Night in and night out. We talk with our God. These three persons are as real to us as any member of our family. How do we enjoy being close to God? Through faith. That's the only way. The stronger our faith, then the closer we draw to our God. Can we not see the necessity of preaching the Word? You know, the thing that the devil wants us to do who preach is quit preaching the Word. Because the devil knows what produces faith. He knows what will bring people closer to God. He knows what will motivate the people of God. It is faith. If he can get me to preach my opinions, he can get me to preach funny stories. He can get me to preach everything else besides the Word of God. What will happen to your faith? You'll wind up without any faith. That's exactly. This has always been the trend. Today, in some reading I was doing, I found a quotation from a historian writing about the 4th century, and it pointed out that the preaching in the 4th century had come to the place where it was simply filled with rhetoric. In other words, a lot of beautiful phrases and pretty preaching, you see. And at the close, it was not unusual for the people to applaud. I said, Brett, there's nothing new, because this is going on among the people of God today. The devil knows, you see. The devil works. How does God want it done? He wants faith preached. Now, we lose our taste for faith. We use our, we lose our taste for the Word of God that produces faith. And the people of God did it in the Old Testament. They do it today. And we need to understand where our faith comes from and the importance of faith, and recognize if we are to draw nigh and walk with our God, it is only by faith that we can do that. Go back again to a statement I started with in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so we see that God is real to us. The three persons of the Godhead are real to us. How? Through faith. It is through faith that we know who Jesus Christ is, as we would look at the testimony in John the 20th chapter, and looking down, if you will, to verses 30 and 31, John says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. In other words, this testimony has been written down, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. No man can pick up this credible testimony and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without coming to the conclusion that Jesus indeed is the Christ, the Son of God, that he was Emmanuel, that he was God in the flesh, God with us. And it amazes me, and of course last January and February we dealt with the doctrine that has been, that's being taught, that Jesus was just a mere man while he was upon earth. You know today, brethren, we are filled with all kinds of theories. I'm talking about conservative churches of Christ. We are filled with theories from one end of this country to another. We're having all kinds of theories being argued over, all kinds of misgivings are being preached. There's hardly a church in the land that is not suffering some kind of internal problem. Do you know why? We who are in the pulpit are going to have to share a great responsibility for what is happening among God's people. Faith is not being preached. Pretty stories are being preached. Rhetoric is being preached. Many things are being preached. How on earth, brethren, can we go out here to the sectarian world and tell them that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and the Bible teaches unity and the Bible can be understood, when our own preachers cannot even understand the simple things from deity on to marriage and divorce and remarriage? It's high time we come back to the faith. That's the only thing that will save us. That's the only thing that would have saved Israel in the long ago. And it is through faith, as you can see, that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we read this credible testimony that he was incarnated in flesh, What we need to do is simply believe what the Bible says. That's really all we need to do on the subject of marriage and divorce and remarriage, is to believe the credible testimony. Let this testimony be mixed with faith. And if we are unbelievers, then God is going to reject us. We can argue all we want to over all of these things and spit a thousand ways, and the God of heaven will have nothing to do with us if we fail to walk by faith. It is through faith we know that the beginning of the universe was an absolute creation. There have been all kinds of theories. Men have theorized that the creation was created out of some other creation. But we who walk by faith know that this universe came out of nothing, that God simply spoke it into existence. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There was nothing before God created the universe. He spoke the universe into existence. The material things that are all around us are the creation of God from nothing. From nothing He created these things. And you and I know that. We don't have any problem with it. Notice all the people that have all of the problem about where the universe came from. You can buy book after book. You can listen to television programs after television programs trying to speculate and tell us how the world came to be. But you and I, we don't have any problem with that at all. Because we are a people of faith, we believe the credible testimony. And the credible testimony says that God simply created the worlds and framed it by the Word of God. He spoke it into existence. And that's what we must instill in the hearts of all of our children. We need to believe it ourselves. And we need to teach it to our children. And when our children believe this, then when all of the theories are brought before them, they then are able to reject them because of their strong faith. They know that these theories of men are simply theories of men because of the evidence that we have in the Word of God. We know where we came from because of faith. We know that we are the creation of God in Genesis, the first chapter, and verses 26 and 27 and 28. The record says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." We don't have any problem knowing where we came from, knowing where all of the animals came from. How do we know this? By faith. Faith is the conviction of things that are what? Not seen. Nobody was back there in creation. We cannot know that by sight. How do we know that? We know that by faith. We have no problem with that by faith. Think about how wonderful it is to walk by faith. My time's up. I'm going to quit that. And we will pick up. And as I go on in the definition of faith, next week we'll talk about faith is conviction. And if there's one thing we need, it is conviction. And there can be no conviction without faith, you see. You can't form conviction in the hearts of men and women with any other thing aside from the Word of God.